T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Here we go, gentlemen. Final hour of the week here at OMF.
We're gonna miss it.
All of this has been just so much different than what our normal days are, what our normal weeks are. I'll ask you first, Christian, then I'll go to Lou. After talking to the doctor earlier today, will you still be drinking at 6:05?
Oh, I already got a bottle open, airing that sucker out, letting
that.
It breathe. Are you kidding me?
And Lou's got to drive for 40 minutes, and then what is it, Lou, after that? Little crown?
I don't know. Yeah. There's like a 3-man rotation kind of going on. One night might be a little whiskey, then maybe a little wine, maybe, you know.
Maybe I'll do tequila tonight. Maybe I'll switch it up. Maybe I'll do a little margarita.
You know what?
I got a rotation going
tequila.
On.
I think I'm going with tequila tonight.
I'm
going
to go with tequila also.
I'm sorry. I know that it's probably not the right thing to do, but based on everything that we're trying to deal with, it kind of takes the edge off, as they say, right? It takes the edge off a little bit. And there is an edge out there. All right, Lou's got the latest numbers for you. They came out at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah.
And what do they look like?
Well, let's give you a little update. We'll go back to yesterday when that number was 8,966. There were 1,228 new cases and 32 new deaths, brought a total of 154 in the state of Massachusetts. So today at 4 o'clock, mass cases into Massachusetts. There were 1,436 new cases. That's up from 1,228 yesterday, to bring the total to 10,402. There were 38 new deaths. That's up from 32, so for a total of 192. So it's been slowly climbing here as far as cases go, you know, like mid-1100s, low 12s, now up to 14, and the deaths have been pretty consistent, well, 33, 32, and now 38. Last 3 days.
I tell you what, though, it's a good segue into what I know we want to talk about right now. Because like when you hear about the numbers keep going up and you and then you see for me personally just seeing people out there running around acting like it's no big deal, you know, and I was guilty of that from the beginning too. I was a little, you know, dismissive of how bad it was just because I was ignorant to how bad it was. You had no clue and you had nothing to kind of use. But this story of Tony Boselli, remember when we were talking about Tony Boselli last week when Mike Freeman sent out that tweet, basically, you know, telling everybody that Tony Boselli was in intensive care. He was in ICU because he contracted the coronavirus and he almost died, right? And he had to think about it. He had to, like, you know, question whether he should do it or not. Well, Tony Boselli finally came out and he started talking about it, Lou. And it just, when you see a guy like this, 5-time Pro Bowler, you know, accomplished so much, and to see
great
how just,
it, yeah.
just unbelievably tackle. Knocked him on his ass and almost died from it.
47 years old, totally healthy, right? Healthy.
So the first cut here from Boselli is he basically talked about when he kind of first kind of found out he had this thing.
You never know exactly how. Even the doctors will tell you, you never know. But I started, you know, I think it was like the 5th, 16th or so, Monday or Tuesday, started feeling like I had a cold. No big deal. Actually took my I wouldn't even have taken a temperature usually, but because of the COVID thing going around, I said, let me take my temperature, make sure I don't have a fever. And I didn't. No big deal. Went to bed Tuesday night and woke up Wednesday feeling lousy and actually took my temperature and I had a low-grade fever. And about an hour later, I got a phone call saying, hey, listen, somebody you were around tested positive. And even when I got it, I'll be honest with you, I was like a lot of people. You're like, I'm 47.
Right.
I'm going to be fine. It's just not true. I mean, I think we've downplayed this thing a little bit in the sense of we try to convince ourselves that if we're young and we're healthy,
right,
nothing can happen.
Right.
Or I'll get sick and I'll be fine. And the percentages are, you're right, by the way. But trust me, it can take you down pretty quick.
Right.
And it can go sideways really fast. thankfully, I got out of the ICU, but others, people don't my age and our age.
Yeah, 47.
So what happened was he first became aware of it, right? Because he had symptoms that night of March 16th after playing golf the previous weekend at Sawgrass Country Club, right? So almost a week later, he kind of felt some effects of what was going on. And again, no fever, you know, nothing you would really sound an alarm. But lucky for him, somebody actually called him up and said, listen, you may have something,
yeah,
just in case.
Yeah. And then he kind of goes on and talks about his story about how he ended up in the hospital.
I get sent to the hospital.
Right.
My doctor, just because it's going really, I thought I was getting better, and then all of a sudden one day it went south fast. And so I thought, so he says, go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to give me some fluids and some meds. And,
right.
You know, just kind of get a checkup, check the box and go home. And I get there. They immediately do an x-ray, and then 5 minutes later, you know, I'm getting IVs put in and all this stuff, and pulmonologist comes in and says, hey, we're going to put you in the ICU. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, no. I actually told him, I said, I don't want to go to the ICU.
Right.
he was asking my opinion.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I said, I'll pass. You know, you got anything else on the menu I can get? And I just told him, I don't want to go. And he says, well, you need to go, and we need to watch you closely and get you on oxygen because you're not breathing well, and you're oxygen levels are low, you know, too low and all this kind of stuff. And so next thing you know, I'm in the dang ICU laying there. And that's where, you know, it gets scary in the sense of your mind wanders and
sure.
You start wondering. And I realized pretty quickly I wasn't going to see anybody for a while because no one's allowed to come see you. And you're not allowed to leave the room. And the only people around are the doctors and the nurses and all the techs and all the people taking care of you. And so put you on oxygen, you kind of just got me on a bunch of drugs and all the different stuff, and you just hope it works at that point.
Man. You just hope it works. They were talking about how they kept realizing that he needed another level of oxygen, like he wasn't getting enough oxygen, that they're going to ramp this thing up to like 100 because they weren't sure if it was doing its job or not.
Couldn't stabilize it, right.
Yeah,
this guy's 47.
He's 47 years
totally
old.
Healthy. Totally healthy. This is not an elderly person now with pre-existing health conditions.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that, you know, he had these crazy, crazy symptoms, right? And he just really just got his ass kicked by it. And his wife, who actually got it also, had really nothing. Like, she had really not barely any symptoms. She recovered fine, didn't need to be hospitalized, and just recovered. So, I mean, it's such a crazy, crazy story the way it worked out. So, I mean, I know there's more, right, Lou?
Yeah, the last one, I think, I don't even know, Tyler, what show was he on, first off?
My old station, 1010XL in Jacksonville.
Okay, so Tyler's old station down there in Jacksonville. So the last cut we have here was they just basically asked him to kind of compare it to the flu.
Is it like having a really bad flu, but just for an extended period of time? Put it in your own words.
Yeah, that's probably the best. You know, I had the flu before. It was like 3 or 4 days. You're down and out. Can't get out of bed. This is going on, gosh, a good 2 weeks plus. And I think that the difference, there's twofold difference. One, the intensity and for how long it lasts. And two, you could die from it. I know you can die from the flu, but not the... You don't really think about it until it happens to you. Laying in that ICU, you're thinking, wait a second, this is not really how I planned on this thing going. And so I think the combination of the intensity and then the reality that, you know, this just can kill you and killing a number of people.
Yeah, see, I think that's the scary part now. I think early on, and Christian, like you said, kind of downplayed, I think, you know, I know I did, and I think a lot of people did, even though they don't want to admit it.
Exactly.
But a lot of people really downplayed this thing on both sides of political parties downplayed this thing. But at first, when you said, okay, if I get it, I'm healthy, whatever, it'd be the flu. I'll have it for 2 or 3 days. I'll move on. No big deal. And here's a guy, 47 years old, healthy. And you're hearing his story about how he's sitting in ICU saying, okay, this is not how I plan on this thing ending. That's the scary part about it now.
Well, the thing is, when you talk about, and you're right, a lot of us downplayed this thing right out of the gate. On the other hand, if you look at it right now and you look at the models, and there are two models even the federal government has been looking at right now, those models have been wrong. And if anything, that is probably optimistic news because they've been way off. Remember the British model predicting 2 million deaths. Remember that? And they, so are we behind the curve, or did they simply overshoot the numbers with all of this? Obviously, we hope that they were overshooting the numbers and that the numbers are not nearly as bad as we thought they would be. So as bad as those numbers are that you read off, Lou, yeah, they don't come close to the model that they were all predicting. That's good news, I think.
Yeah, it is, but it's more of like a every, I think they kept talking about every third day, you know? So, I mean, we've seen, as I was saying, 192 deaths, you know, 38 today, 32 yesterday, 33 the day before that. So you're talking about, you know, I mean, in 3 days, you're talking about 103 deaths of the 192. So in 3 days, it did more than double.
Yeah, but nationally, I don't think we're looking at 2 million with this deaths right now. So they're way off on that one. And the other one was the Bill Gates group that put together numbers that were lower than the British group. But they, I think these numbers still, if you're looking, and who knows, we don't know what's going to happen a week or a month from now, but looking at where they thought it would be, the numbers are lower.
Well, I also think that you mentioned something like this, I don't know, maybe a week and a half ago, Glenn, when you talk about how good our health care system is. And I mean, that's the doctors, that's the ability to make sure people are seen and you know, and how many people we have. And even with that, you still could be at a shortage, right? And the people that we have are working overtime into the night and all day and all night. You know, one of the things that I saw was that, you know, it's so hard to gauge, you know, the mortality rate in different countries based on their healthcare system.
And the people who lie, like in China.
And they just might not have enough. Now, listen, they may be on point and have all and have everything and have the knowledge. There's just not enough bodies. There's not enough people to care for all the people that are sick. So it gets backlogged, and people who normally would have lived died because they just never seen. And not because they're not trying to be seen. It's because there's, you know, too many people ahead of them. So that plays a role in it also.
So when you look at it, and if the numbers are not nearly as bad as we originally thought they were going to be, and those models were reporting those numbers within the last week or two, right? And we look at where we are in normal society, and we just talked to Adam Schefter about this because he was talking about the draft and about the start of the league. And earlier in the program, we read quotes from Dr. Alan Sills, who basically tells us that there are a lot of things, boxes that have to be checked off before we start playing NFL games. And now you've heard Schefter. Do you feel more optimistic that we're going to be getting back to normal with the NFL or less optimistic?
I feel less optimistic.
Yeah.
I do. I do. I do feel less optimistic because I'm just looking at, you know, if you look at the way, I think it's when do we get to the peak? So whenever we get to the peak, I think, you know, you can have a better idea of when you think you may be able to start talking about getting back to normal. And I I've realized that every observation I've had, I've been wrong because I'm too optimistic because I want the season to happen so badly. I think I get a little bit delusional based on what's actually possible, right? Dabo Sweeney, you know, all these other coaches in college and then the pros sit there and go, really? Are you going to sit there and you're the Alabama Crimson Tide and you're going to put 110,000 people there in September? Is that you're going to go to the Chick-fil-A Bowl? You're going to go to Dallas? You're going to go to? I'm not kidding. Well, I mean, this is what these kickoff classics, yeah, where they have these games in the last week in August.
And listen, I've been a guy that sat there and said they should have the draft right in the NFL. They should move forward as planned until someone says you can't. You guys talking about bad optics and you know where we're going to be in the next week or two if these numbers continue to grow. But you know, we talked to Adam Schefter a short period of time ago, and he says it's happening no matter what.
There's no rookie camps. There's no mini camps. It's not gonna be any off season program. What does it matter?
But you're convinced it's gonna happen.
No, the draft is gonna be April 23rd.
No question about it.
But again, what is the condition of our country when they're saying that the worst 2-3 weeks are ahead, and the apex of this pandemic is ahead?
See, I agree with them. Like, I do agree with them. Even the draft thing.
But he says it's happening. That's it. They're doing it.
Well, yeah, because the NFL is stubborn and they're going along with it, and they claim we're going to just do business as normal. And I'm like you, Lou. I am one of those that is fearful that if we don't at some time turn the corner here and somebody's got to make that decision, then we're never going to get back to normal.
Yeah.
There will be no normal. The economy will be a disaster. People will be out of work. We'll have 40 million people out of work, and we'll be in a deep, deep depression. We can't do that. But this, in a couple of weeks from now, think about it. You're watching the NFL Network or you're watching ESPN, and they're sitting there drafting somebody, and somebody's getting all excited, and they're in their living room, you know, on Skype, and they're all of the family is hugging them, which is not a good look. And then you flip the channel or go to CNN or Fox News, and you're seeing the numbers up there, the stats that you've been reading every day, and we've got more people, and we've got a scene outside of a hospital in New York with more people coming in intensive care. Just a bad look.
Yeah, and I do think based on – I do think they'll change it. Now, this is one thing. I do think they'll postpone it because
– Well, he seemed adamant, didn't he, that they're not going to change it.
But think about it, right? So think about it. Every day at 5 o'clock, we kind of give some updates, you know, let people know what's going on. And think about the updates that are in New York. So, and he's right. He's dead on this point. So you wake up in the morning, Thursday morning, and it's just released that it's the worst possible situation ever, right? It's just, it couldn't get any worse. I mean, for all we know, there could be riots, there could be fights, there could be, who knows what it could be, right? Just people just losing their ever loving mind. And let's go to New York for Roger Goodell with the 15th pick.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm telling you guys, everything you're going to be you have a Democratic and Republican convention coming up this summer. How do you pull those off? And there might be some tension outside in the street, certainly with the Democratic convention, if the Bernie bros show up and they get pissed off. So how do you do any of this stuff? How do we get back to normal? But I want to go back to what we were originally talking about at the beginning of the show, and that is, it's great to listen to Dr. Tony Fauci. We love him. We love Deborah Birx. They've been terrific. They're specialists in this. They deal with the medical numbers, statistics. They understand the curves and all this other stuff. But they're also doctors. And so doctors don't move on and don't stop working until you have zero cases of a disease and zero deaths. We're never going to achieve that. So when do we suddenly get away from the doctors sitting there telling us how bad it is and get to the point where maybe we're on the backside of that curve, the peak, and we're sitting there
we
got to get back to work. We got to get back to doing what we do.
So when you get back, I always thought that, now you know you're on your way down, right? You know that the numbers, 3 days in a row, numbers going down. Like there's a bunch of data that shows that Italy, their cases are decreasing, right? And they were ahead of the United States. So that's positivity right there. That's a good sign. So when it starts going down, it doesn't mean there's this mad rush to get back outside. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can just, life goes back to just flip the switch and you start doing whatever you need to do. I do think there is going to be some contingencies. Like there should be that non-essential list is opened up a little bit, wider and people can go back out. But I sit there, even if you decide to open up 10 restaurants in Boston, you're going to go into the restaurant with a mask on, with gloves on. I mean,
how do you eat with the mask?
Zipper? How is that going to work?
It's going to be a while. You're not going. You're not going. Are you going?
No.
No, I'm not going.
No, and I think it's going to be a problem. And you said it earlier, Lou, that if you don't have gloves and you don't have a mask and you went to the supermarket today and people are treating you like, you got leprosy or whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, when you go to the supermarket, people either have a mask on and no gloves or they have gloves on and no mask. They got one or the other, it seems like. Most people. When you're walking around in a supermarket, if you had to go in there for whatever period of time, hopefully you go in, get what you need, and get the hell out. But yeah, you walk in there with nothing, and people just look at you.
But do we get back to, I won't say normalcy, because we're not going to get back to being normal for a long time, but somewhat normal, so that we're not looking at 6.5 million people unemployed next week, which we probably will have, and then maybe 10 million applying the week after that. We have to find some point when we get away from listening, I'm not saying listening to the doctors, get away from where the doctors view this versus the way that the regular public deals with it. Because you're talking about depression, you're talking about suicide, you're talking about poverty, you're talking about the homeless number increasing dramatically.
Mental health is already a huge problem in this country. It's not going to help.
No. I mean, we do have to get to a point. And when we talk about sports, it's, you know, we're going to have to get to a point, even though it does seem a little ludicrous for us to sit here and push to play games. If they don't play games, there are a lot of people that are employed. Forget about the multimillionaire athletes and the billionaire owners. How about the people that are working for these teams, working for these games, working for these arenas that rely on that money just to feed their family, put their kids through school?
The problem for me is
you can't wipe
that
out. You just can't wipe it out.
You know, the thought of the NFL, you know, and that's they're the one, you know, league that has kind of like the calendar on their side right now. Right, they don't, and I'm wondering, like, the delay of it is them saying that, you know, we need a long prep time for the season. It's not like MLB that say we can do spring training in 2 weeks, or NBA saying, you know, give us like 5 to 10 games, give us 5 games, you know, we'll start a playoff, so whatever, or 1 week, you know, of training camp, and then 5 games. The NFL is going to sit there and say, you know, we need a month, so we can't start in September. Maybe we start in October because we can't start in end of July or whatever it might be. But the thought of the NFL running into serious issues with this is just a realization that, you know, there's no hockey, there's no NBA. You know, is there going to be a baseball season for what, a month or two? So that's where it's like, Jesus, the NFL is over here talking about it, and meanwhile, these other leagues are still trying to figure out a way to make it work. I can't imagine, Christian, you tell me, playing a football game in front of no fans.
Well, no, I mean, listen, I think they could adapt to it. I think it would be odd and it would be weird, but I think it would be fine.
It to save the sport, Christian.
No,
television and so money. Yeah, save the sport.
Yeah, so will it be weird? Could they do it? Yes. I just feel like once you allow yourself to think outside the box and you become a little desperate, and you realize that, okay, this is my livelihood, and I can make a difference. I can make changes in my daily routine. I don't think anyone will have a problem with it. That's why I go back to the whole, okay, what is it? Jay Williams, rent the cruise ship. Get the East and the West cruise ship for the NBA players. Listen, you're okay, so LeBron James, no, I'm not going anywhere without my family. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You're such an idiot. Like, you don't have an option. You don't have a choice. Like, this isn't a perfect situation. Yeah. You have to adapt. You have to improvise. You need to figure out a way. And everybody's got to sacrifice. I don't need to tell you, everybody's making sacrifices.
No question.
And it hits some people harder than others. Okay, yeah. That's fine. No one needs to, you know, no one wants to hear your problems. That's the other thing I realized. Nobody cares what you're going through. It is survival of the fittest. Like, I don't care about your problems. Here's what I need. I don't care what you – here's what I need.
And so, doctors, by the way, have already poo-pooed the whole cruise ship thing. They've come out and commented on it. And
oh,
even the Vegas
really?
Issue. Yeah, even the Vegas one.
Who poo-pooed
even
the Vegas one. Issue?
Well, somebody came up with the Vegas thing, and doctors have already said that's not going to work either, because what you're doing is you're putting people all in one area, and if somebody's got it and they don't know, it's so much could go wrong with something like that. You don't want to quarantine a bunch of people in a corral together, because your idea is you believe that nobody in that corral has the virus. Unfortunately, you can never be sure. And somebody could have the virus, and if somebody has it and they're all in the corral, then they're all likely to get it, or more likely to get it.
And
it
you
being
have an
in
Eastern Conference cruise ship, and you have a Western Conference cruise ship.
No, the cruise ships.
One's called the Carnival, one's called the Ship of the Sea.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of it works. But I think, unfortunately, looking at this, we're going to get to a point, and it probably is going to be at the end of April, because I remember originally it was everybody bunker down in your house for 15 days. And then the next thing is we're going to extend it now till the end of April. We get to the end of April. Think about the harm that will be caused to the economy. You're going to have still cases. You're still going to have deaths. Hopefully these numbers are way down. Somebody's going to have to step up and say, we're going to have to start moving on right now. And if we don't, where are we? Because we've never had anything like this before. We've had sicknesses. We've had, flus and other sicknesses which have wiped out a lot of people.
We've
never shut down the economy like this.
We've had vaccines, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if you go way back in history, you never shut down society.
I understand what you're saying. And I do agree. I've talked to plenty of people that's like, you know, we can do this for a month. you know, 2-3 months, you're already seeing, you know, banks, mortgage companies, you know, sitting there saying, okay, they didn't need another bailout like they got in 2010. Because, you know, after 2 or 3 months of this, people, as far as paying their mortgages, probably not going to happen. You know, but when you start getting into the cases and the curve is going backwards and or at least going down, then you start saying, okay, go everybody go back to work. All right, well, one person in here gets sick. You know, a month from then, or 2-3 weeks from then, one person in this building here gets sick. Next thing you know, you find out they have it. Now what? You know, now what do you do? You sit there and say, oh, Jesus, she's walking around here talking to everybody, or one of us get it. You know, no, is the whole station down again? You know, we're right back to where we were before. So, I mean, that's, I understand exactly what you're saying. That's, we asked that question a while ago. Will there be a day where we just have to say, okay, we have to live with this? You know, and because at the time we're sitting there saying, well, people that are extremely vulnerable, and they always have to remain, you know, cautious in this whole thing. And then you hear stories like, you know, Bacelli, who's 47 years old, and it's like, yeah. I didn't think anything's going to happen to me. Next thing you know, I'm in an ICU unit. So it's...
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so they're going to have the draft, right?
Yeah.
We all say that? They're either going to have the draft?
They're going to have the draft.
I'm going to say they're not going to have it. I'm going to say... At the last minute, the week before, maybe that Sunday night before the Thursday draft, I'm saying they're going to postpone it. I'm going to say somebody's going to get to Goodell. Maybe it's the governor of New York. Maybe it's Kraft. Who the hell knows? Honestly, someone's going to get to him and say, you know what? Let's just wait, and we can, you know, and there's no harm in waiting. Well, but the TV's up at this. No, we're good. They can wait. It's really easy. Just postpone it a month.
See, I don't think it's going to happen because I think they're going to do everything they can, do it virtually. They can do it through, you know, Zoom or whatever the hell you're doing it. They're telling teams already to get prepared. I just don't see it happening. I mean, I canceling it or postponing it. I see them doing this thing. Realizing that they can do it, they can keep people separated. Yeah, is our team's going to be pissed? Sure. Are they not going to be as prepared as they would be? Sure. But Roger Goodell is going to go forward with this thing.
The draft is going to be April 23rd.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think he's pretty.
He's plugged
when
in.
But when you listen, yeah. I know. I'm not saying that he's not, Glenn. I 100%. But when you listen to him, also, so imagine he's a smart, rational guy.
Yep.
I'm wondering, like, how many other people are like Shefty that are in the NFL offices in New York City sounding like him. And what is Roger Goodell doing at the head of the table? Is he just saying, like, just waiting until he's done and then saying, okay, I don't care what you say? I'm sure there's a bunch of other people that live in the city that have lived there their whole life, or maybe they're just recognizing it and how bad it looks, and they're probably saying, you should probably sleep on this one.
Well, you heard what Schefter said, that he got a lot of calls that day from people with different teams, general managers, who were sitting there saying they totally agreed with him. This is ridiculous.
And Roger Goodell did give himself an out. He gave himself an out. So
doesn't look like he's taking it, though.
Well, it's too early right now. When is it right now? It's only, I don't even know what the date is. Friday.
We're two and a half weeks away.
I have no idea. Is it Monday? I can't wait for the week.
It's Friday, big guy. Friday.
Is it Brady week?
No, Brady week is over today. Nope. You missed it.
When is Welker coming on?
He was already on the other day.
Kevin Falk already came on.
Right, he was on. Bledsoe was on.
You hallucinating? Are you hallucinating? I'm worried about you.
Hey, Tom Brady's gone, by the way. You went to Tampa Bay.
Wait, Tom Brady's gone?
Where did he go? Let me guess.
I still think he's staying.
Chargers. Take the money. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some phone calls and do more right here on a Friday, Christian. It's the Friday edition of OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yes.
Is that official?
It's talked about.
So two things have happened here. They've had a couple bad drafts dating back to the Deflategate, losing that first round pick that year. But if you just look at the totality of the drafts from like 15 through last year, not the same. And, you know, they kind of ebb and flow with these little runs that the Pats have, depending on how the drafts were. The second run that they had, where they won the 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, it was a lot of that had to do with the drafts that they had, the moves they made the years before. Same thing with the first three, 01 and 03 and 04. So
Bill Simmons just kind of talking out of his ass, and we all do it. I'm not knocking him for it. We do it. We come up with, you know, our take, and hey, it is a good one. So Bill Belichick is still friends with Matt Patricia, and I've got Julian Edelman, and I could squeeze some extra money under my cap if I trade him. And the next thing you know, because it's Simmons, and he's got some credibility out there because he's been very successful in what he does, suddenly we're talking about this like it's a legitimate news story. And it simply doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And I'm not sure Detroit does it either. So Detroit's going to take him on and give you what? What does Bill get in return? A fourth-round draft pick. You guys tell me. Fourth-round draft pick, and I know what Lou's going to say. What is he going to do with that fourth-round draft pick? That's what you're going to get in return.
Probably when drafting all-pro.
When you're going with, let's face it, he is a rookie quarterback, and you're asking him to throw to receivers that couldn't get separation last year when Tom Brady was back there in the pocket, and Stidham is going to need 33, 34-year-old Julian Edelman in the middle of the field to catch the football, to move the chains.
I don't think this is one of those, hey, listen, I got an idea. Let's get rid of Edelman and let's bring back what? I mean, isn't the goal to try and improve your team? And I wonder if Simmons even looks at the contract and looks, you know, I mean, I know there is an out, somewhat of an out for the Patriots, but I just
they get some relief. They can get some relief, but
it's not worth it.
No, if they redo Tooney's deal or they trade Tooney, then that gets them a lot of money.
Over the cap has some of the numbers, and if they were to trade him, because this is what it would be, they're not going to release him. If they were to trade him before June 1st, you'd have 5.3 dead cap. You'd save 4.3. But if you traded him post June 1st, there'd be a 2.6 dead cap, and you'd free yourself $7 million on the cap. So that's the money side of it. Tommy Curran wrote about this today. I'll read from Tommy Curran's article, those Julian Edelman trade rumors. Here's why the Patriots won't do it. So he says, the rumor the Patriots may trade wide receiver Julian Edelman. The response I got from a league source when I asked about this rumor, quote, not a chance in hell, unquote. So he gets into some of the financial aspects of it, but it's really the last, it's more of a football thing. Because he says, unless the Patriots want to raise the white flag on 2020 in early April, dealing Edelman makes no sense. And that's kind of like the side of it. It's, listen, I don't think they're going to be a very good team, But I do think you have to, you know, compete. You do have to field the team. I mean, you're going to have a, I don't know who the hell the quarterback's going to be. Maybe it's going to be Stidham, you know, but you need a Julian Edelman out there. If that's, if you move on from Julian Edelman, now you're sitting there saying, now you open the door to say, well, why don't you just trade Stephon Gilmore as defensive trade player everybody. Of the year, right?
I mean, blow it all up. Go for Trevor Lawrence, right.
But Anderson, yeah, to see, me, that's yeah. not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And whenever I, you know, whenever somebody talks about a weapon for the quarterback, I go back to, do people really think Stidham's going to be the starting quarterback? I mean, is this? Do we really think that's it's going to be? It's Hoyer and Stidham. They're going to battle it out, Hoyer and Stidham. Do we really think that Stidham is the guy?
I think there's a possibility that Stidham at some point in the season could be a starter. Let's put it this way. Do you believe any one of these guys, and even if they bring in a third guy, which you believe they're going to do, maybe a veteran guy that is cheap that just couldn't find a gig out there, I don't believe any one of these guys are going to start 16 games. We're accustomed to seeing Tom Brady start 16 games. You will not see any one of these guys start 16 games next year.
Wow, when was the last time? I don't know about you guys, but I've been a part of a bunch of teams where you literally saw three different guys playing. Like, so the first guy would open the season as a starter, and then things didn't go well. It has nothing to do with getting hurt. It just didn't go well. They looked for a spark. They started another guy. He had a really crappy game. They pulled him. They put the old guy back in. And then they tried the other guy again. And then he had two good games. And then he got,
That's most teams that don't have a legitimate big-time quarterback. Out,
and it's usually any situation where there's an Mark Brunell. When I was with Washington, Brunell, I think his name was Jason Campbell, was out of Auburn. He was a rookie. We all knew that Mark was just, you know, if we played well, Mark was going to be the quarterback. As soon as our season was over, Jason Campbell was going to go in. Sure enough, Jason Campbell went in. I don't think it's that way because I don't think you have an established guy.
You know what it looked like? When Gostkowski got hurt.
Yeah, but quarterback-wise.
Yeah, we got a kicker for this week, maybe for next week. But this guy's been pretty good.
You know, and then you sit there, you get sick of looking and you're trying to, you know, trust the younger guy, so you find a Vinny Testaverde type of guy, Matt Hasselbeck type of guy, right, who's been in the league, you know, has had a lot of success, but really he's just not going to screw it up. He's not going to win you a bunch of games, but he's not going to give it up by throwing a bunch of picks because he's smarter than that. No, he can't run. No, he doesn't have the arm strength. But you know he's going to get you in the right play. You know he's going to make sure everybody else is in the right play. He's the adult in the room.
Listen, we're spoiled. And we saw Brady, with the exception of that one year where he went down in the first quarter of the game against, Kansas City. But we're spoiled. He showed up every single
even
Sunday.
When we were playing all those commercials and went back and ranked all the great, you know, off field commercials, movie roles and guest appearances that Brady was in. I mean, there were a bunch of other commercials. I remember like some Visa commercials, some like, you know, the Beautyrest commercials, the Hulu commercial. We didn't even play, but even early, all the stuff that he's done, and you sit there and you forget about it because the guy's been here so long.
Roger that.
He's been involved in so many different things.
Yeah, he had that mattress commercial. He didn't say a word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. He just walked in and just looked at it. Just it was kinda, like, ooh, I'm going to have sex on this bed.
Yeah, just walked in and looked at it. But, you know, getting back to Edelman and just being like, you know, oh, Jesus, you're going to leave Stidham something here, right? Remember, we talked to Drew Bledsoe yesterday. And I think, you know, we focused so much on Brady and how he's going to adapt out in Tampa Bay. I think we asked Drew, who was going to have a tougher time, right? I mean, Brady adapting to new weapons or a guy like Jared Stidham who was here last year?
Probably more difficult. If I had to say it's going to be more difficult for one of the others, it's going to be more difficult for Stidham. Just because, you know, when you're the backup, you know, outside of training camp, you know, you just don't get the reps. And that's really what it's about, playing quarterback. It's about repetition so that you know what's going to happen before it happens. You know, Tom has more experience than anybody that's ever played the position of quarterback. And so he's going to be able to do that fairly quickly. I think for Stidham, though, missing those reps, I think, is really important. And then it's going to make it more difficult for him. But I know they think highly of him and they'll give him a lot of help. But those are certainly very, very important practices that he's having to miss.
It makes sense. Now, we were talking about what happens if you have no OTAs, which you're not going to have, passing camp, off-season camp, or whatever, and who knows what happens to when you get into the real camp in July and August. And that makes sense to me. I mean, I think Brady's going to have difficulty because there's a lot to pick up and a lot to understand with players you've never played with before. You're not telepathic the way you are with Julian Edelman and Gronk and guys you've played with in the past. I think we saw some of that last year with some of the young receivers that Tom Brady had trouble clicking with. But no, there's no question that Stidham has never done this before.
Well, because with Tom, it's about, for him. You know, he's, like you said, like Drew said, he's got more experience than any quarterback ever, right? It's been 20 years. So there's, you know, he's got to get accustomed to new weapons and a new offense and everything else. Stidham just needs reps. Stidham's green. You know what I mean? He needs a full offseason to get under center, get in the playbook, work with guys, talk to the coaches, understand what they want from him. Just that's a lot to ask on a kid that's got, you know, 1 year under his belt and, you know, no game action whatsoever.
I do think that there is going to be, I'm leaning more towards Glenn's side of the fence when it comes to the difficulty, the level of difficulty that exists now with Brady. Like, just assume if this goes on, and then you can do the whole video conferencing thing all day long. It doesn't even come close to getting what you need. So okay, you verbalized the plays in your head. Now you're seeing it, and maybe the guy in motion goes faster than you want, or he goes slower, or maybe he used to do this play with Jameis Winston, and he hasn't adapted to what you want to do yet. There's not going to be enough time to learn from your mistakes, I think, is what I feel.
I appreciate that, Big Fella. But, Ryan, do we have any of that tape where he blasted me?
I got to find it because Christian smashed you.
He treated me like a farm animal.
Hold on a second.
What do you do to farm animals?
Crying.
I know. No, First of all, I said I'm leaning more towards your side, but this is the caveat, though. The more time that goes by, the more I realize that it ain't going to happen. Like, there's not going to be any OTAs. They may just go straight to camp.
Well, I was going on the premise when I originally brought it up that we weren't going to have that stuff. But I do agree with what Bledsoe said yesterday, and Lou just brought it up, and that is that it'll be worse for Stidham. So yeah. I think it's going to be really difficult for Brady, and maybe Tampa Bay has trouble out of the gate because he's not accustomed to those other receivers. We saw that last year with Brady with the receivers that were here that he wasn't accustomed to. And he did have some time to work with them, not a lot, and not a lot in the offseason.
But it's going to be worse
for Stidham because of the lack of reps.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of quarterback movement this offseason. You know, you're going to have three or four maybe rookie quarterbacks coming out of the draft. So there's going to be a big advantage. You know, when you look at the AFC, teams like Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yep. Same team, same coaches, same quarterback. Yep.
Even Buffalo, out of the gate.
Agree.
You know, just they've been together. They've offensively, I mean, they're bringing Stephon Diggs into the mix, but still run first type of team, and they can get Stephon Diggs involved, but especially Kansas City, especially Baltimore.
New Orleans is another team I would say is going to be bringing in Emmanuel Sanders.
I mean, yep. San Fran, you know, just teams that have everything in place, and there's still a lot of them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Dallas and Green Bay, you can go up and down, a lot of good teams, you know, in the NFC, but those sort of teams that are, and this is where, you know, you look at it and say, this is where the Patriots usually took advantage of it, right? Like, if Brady was still there, you'd say, oh, advantage Patriots. You know, the system's in place. They don't need much prep time. Now there's other teams that are going to get that advantage. No question about it.
Yeah, if you've got the same coaching staff and you've got the same key players, you're just swapping in and out a player there or a player there. It could be a gigantic advantage. Who knows? A gigantic advantage. We don't know how long this thing is going on. Well, let's look at it this way. Because what were you saying earlier? They need a month. Maybe they need a month to get back in. Suppose we don't get through this thing until we get to late August. And so the NFL decides they're going to do a month, and we're going to start the season in late September. Think about how difficult that is. And, Christian, you've been there before through these long camps, through the spring camps. You tell me how difficult that is for a team that's got a new coach, new quarterback. That's a killer.
Well, that's why they let those teams, you know, show up a week early.
Yeah. And I was mentioning advantage, and even Buffalo, right? They got their team kind of together. This was, I don't know if you guys heard or not, but their GM, Brandon Bean, he talked about the AFC and how it's still the New England Patriots.
The team to beat in the East is the Patriots. And until somebody beats them, they are the team to beat. And as long as Bill Belichick's there, you know, you're talking about probably the greatest head coach of all time that was paired with the greatest quarterback of all time. So until we beat them, you know, we've done nothing, and we got our work cut out for us.
politically correct, smart thing to say.
It's the right thing. It's the right thing to say. I think internally they're confident that they almost
they should kick their ass.
Yeah, they should feel like it's their division now. See, that's the right thing to say because, you know, we've heard a little bit of Rex Ryan. And if this happened while Rex was still in New York, what do you think he would say? You think he would say that? He'd say, this is our division now.
No, that's exactly
right. Finally get rid of Brady. I'm winning this division now, right?
Well,
but that's the right thing
to
say if you're the GM of the Bills.
Didn't he celebrate and said that we won the offseason? Remember that one?
Yeah. Don't eat a goddamn snack.
That's the difference. You know, and I agree. Buffalo, I think, is going to be very difficult if we have very little time to work with. By the way, I wanted to throw the doctor's names out there because I did not want to be, you know, throwing crap out of my ass here. But one of them is Dr. Carolyn Buckey. When I was saying earlier about doctors are answering the NBA's idea to have this balloon type of approach where you put everybody in a big bubble and you put them away, whether it's in Vegas or whether it's on a cruise ship. It sounds like potentially a bad idea, Dr. Buckey said. I don't think it's realistic to completely isolate and quarantine the players. For a start, there are people who will need to clean their rooms, feed them, wash their clothes, janitorial staff, and so forth. And those people will not be protected, and they'll be interacting with their communities. There was another doctor, Dr. Charles Brannis, Columbia University Public Health. And he said the chances of pulling this off for the entire NBA seems highly unlikely. All you need is one unintended case of COVID-19, and then the whole thing goes really bad, like a cruise ship. So,
ladies and gentlemen, Big O!
So there you go. Those are the doctors.
There you go. Speaking of Big O, I do want to, because we talk about Rex Ryan.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard these comments he had earlier, I believe, on Get Up, because one Amari Cooper... You know, he signed that big deal to stay down in Dallas. Was it 5 years, $100 million? And they asked Rex Ryan what he thought of Amari Cooper.
Well, I agree with Dan on the fact that I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell. Jeez. No way in hell would I have paid this guy.
I'm sorry. Jeez. I like this Rex Ryan. I'm sorry. This is the TV guy that we thought we were getting, and for the first 2 years he was doing this, I think he still thought he had an opportunity to get back coaching in the NFL. This is good. I like this, but you can't call a player a turd.
To me,
turd may be a stretch.
Wow.
Turd.
The fact is that, like, I mean, it's almost like he's attacking the guy.
He is.
Like,
what do you mean almost? He is attacking him. He called him a turd.
I wouldn't have paid this
why?
Turd.
I wouldn't have paid the turd. Do you agree? And he probably went overboard, but that's part of TV.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree that Amari Cooper does disappear?
No, I agree with 100%. And
yes.
I agree with you that this is like the Rex you thought you were going to get.
Yes, I like this.
Because with this type of Rex, you know, you figured he'd get in trouble once in a while, and he would actually be forced to kind of do this.
Earlier today on Get Up, you had some comments surrounding Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper.
No.
I know you'd like to clarify those, so the floor is yours, Coach.
Oh, yeah, first off, I mean, I can't believe I said that, used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari, and anybody knows me. I'm quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect for every single player in the National Football League, including Amari Cooper. Now, with that being said, I think the Cowboys overspent for Amari Cooper. And the reason for it is I don't doubt that this is an elite player. He has those traits. But an elite receiver, to me, shows up on the road. He shows up against great corners, and he shows up in crunch time. And those are three things that Amari Cooper has not done so far in his career. In fact, I think he's won one playoff game as a player. And all those things are how I feel about this young man as a receiver. But what I added at the end of that you know, I want to apologize to Amari again and hope he accepts my apology.
Turd.
I wouldn't have paid this turd.
And that's the Rex Ryan. You just heard there with the apology. That's the Rex Ryan we've been getting for the last couple of years.
Well, he opened up early on.
It's unbelievable. You can't this turd. You can't do this anymore.
I can't believe I said that. I used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari. And anybody knows me. No, I mean, look, I'm quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect. I wouldn't have paid this turd.
You know what that was? That was his bosses at ESPN saying, you can't do this. And he's sitting there going, oh, my God. I loved it last week when he took advantage of the fact that Brady was gone. And he's sitting there going, now Belichick, who's kicked his ass for how many years, he's sitting there saying to Bill Belichick, now let's see how it works. Now good luck and see whether you can pull
this
off.
Now you're like the rest
of us. Like everybody else, right. Yeah, I love that because that was real, honest, genuine emotion.
Yeah, the turd comment is him. I mean, I don't think he actually hates him.
No, that's just him.
He'd call you a turd. Turd, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, all these coaches have the same thing. But no, I mean, if Rex had the opportunity to coach this guy, I mean, he'd probably end up, you know, and he was in the same situation, he'd probably end up paying him because, you know, what's the alternative?
We're getting too sensitive right now.
Most men like to do a lot of things with those feet.
That's the most offensive thing he's ever said.
That is offensive. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get to last call, and we're going to get you guys out of here, and then we'll get Munt in here. And for last call, apparently what we're going to do is we're going to – apparently we had some difficulty over the years pronouncing some words. All of us have had difficulty.
Great. I want to be a star on this.
Let me face it. When you do 4 hours a day, okay, you're going to screw up.
Mistakes.
You're going to screw up. You're going to make mistakes. We happen to make more than normal, and we got them for you coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, the stretch they come.
Let's get a f***ing in.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All right, last call being brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. Help a child. Donate your car today by calling 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Well, the task force, the White House task force, is speaking right now. And during the break, I listened to a little bit of it. Apparently, the government has found a way in which they're going to make sure that everybody is going to not have to be concerned with health care because they're going to make sure that it gets paid for if you need the care. And you come down with the virus. And then the president told us that the CDC has apparently some new recommendations.
The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth face covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. They suggest it for a period of time. But this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
You know, And I heard a little bit of it during the break. Somebody followed it up. Why aren't you doing it? He said, because I feel good.
I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
Because I don't think I need it. Oh. And it's just, I know, you talk about some of the stuff pandering, but, you know, he's not very smart. That's all. He's just not very smart.
We're just realizing that.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. She'd be like, you know, I'm going to do it. Everyone should do it. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying that. Whether he goes to his office and doesn't do it or not, whatever. But just,
Yeah, I'm not sure smart's the right word. He's not correct in the way he deals with stuff. God, you know, it's just not correct. Yeah, because you're right, he's probably being honest, and a lot of people probably would say the same thing. But you're sitting there going, why would you tell him? You're the president.
Right. And, you know, I've heard it before, so we'll look into it. We'll look into this.
You're the most powerful person in the world.
Why I'm not going to do it. They're recommending it, but I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
Because I
do as I say. Not facial, as I do.
Now, let me ask you, Christian, will you wear facial coverings when outside? If they ask you to wear like a plastic shield, will you wear it?
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
Yes. No, I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now. Plastic shield. I'm going to wear one of those big, you know, welder masks. I'm going to do one of those things. I'm going to get to the counter and be like, flip it up. Like,
there seems to be some controversy with this one here because apparently, rumor has it now at CNN, that there was a last-minute decision and Fauci is not on stage.
I'm going to fire Fauci probably on Good Friday.
Not on stage. Last minute.
I am predicting, though, that 2 or 3 weeks from now, we are going to have an issue, and it's going to be a major controversy in which you either side with what the doctors are saying or you side with the president and the Treasury Secretary and people who are sitting there going, we got to figure a way of getting back and getting our economy going.
And call it Great Friday for Trump.
So apparently we've screwed up a little bit over the years.
What do you mean?
Hardly ever. It's normal. It's normal. Unlike Trump, we're admitting it. We screw up, okay? He didn't screw up. He does it better than anybody, but we screw up. We mispronounced a few words, a few of us.
Gourmet prepared meals delivered right to your door. Fresh, grass-fed prepared meals.
Gas-fed, is that what you said? Fred.
Oh, please. You want to start a counter of all the stupid things, all the things that you say?
Totalitarian.
Oh my God! Do you know how to say this?
Yeah, the totality.
Oh, come on! Totality. One more time.
Totality
there
of
you go.
With a Charles Harder Peter Dial style lawsuit
from Bilerica, Massachusetts.
The Panada.
And they did their due diligence before pulling the trigger.
It's like you know any Christmas. You know Rudolph the Red-Nosed kind of did his roundabout where he goes and finds himself
long and longevity
eligibility. Damn it.
Now the bullpen
was specifically the last Wednesday game was shaky.
It was shaky.
Yeah. Small sample size of knocky hot knocky grass fred
gas one. Fred, is that what you
gas
said
fred. Oh please, do you want to start a counter of all the stupid things, all the I things
just,
that you say?
I'm just bringing it up because you ridicule me every day,
ladies and gentlemen. Big O!
Regurgitated is the founder of a college preparatory business. Got an unbelievable draft.
Hello.
You can't take the metal, the pedal off the metal. You can't.
Apple, lick it. That's what it is.
Apparently is unsalvageable. Salvageable.
What number you did? 88,
what
right?
What number you did?
See, Dr. Maliki and the incredible staff.
John Hyman tweeted this out.
Nelson Aguilar.
Ellen Deladon.
Anticon Tupo.
This is Eric Decker. He's got Eric Dicker.
Eric who?
Marcel Gordot.
Yeah, Gary Washburn.
I'd rather Russ. Try it again.
Fred Flintstone.
What's the McEnany? Is that his name? with Mike Buttonholzer. If Shiano, Cyrus Miley is your dad.
Miley Cyrus.
Play by play along with Joe Castiglione. Joe Castiglione, as they said all weekend long.
Workman's body language. Because you're right. We got Colin Sexton.
Broadway, Farrier, and Maloney.
And it was just like all pissed off, and we got on him for asking it. And the way he asked it, and you knew when the press conference was going to end abruptly. Oh.
I like it.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what, that English language, thank God it's my second language, because I really have difficulty. I will say this, Christian. We've all screwed up an awful lot. Yep. But eligibility is a word that you screw up virtually read it.
Guilty. I feel like I need to be hypnotized. Eligibility.
Eligibility.
Eligibility. Oh, what a killer.
Oh, my God.
So we're all doing it in different locations. Lou apparently is going to his house next week. I'm in my house, and Christian is in his house.
I give Lou a day.
I'm with you.
And you're ready for this? You ready for this? Mike Muttnansky has moved to his basement right now. Mutt at night.
I know. From the basement.
Hey, Mutt.
I got to ask you, Steve. Boy, this is a great little setup here. I was fighting this for a while, but this will work here if we don't have to travel for a couple weeks here live at home.
You sound good.
Thank you very much.
Easy commute, wasn't it?
Easy commute. Now, meanwhile, you guys had a first today. Was Adam Schefter crying on your show?
He joined
you guys early at 4:30? Was he crying? Joining you guys talking about the draft? He does not want this draft to happen, huh?
No, he doesn't. No, he does not. And he thinks it's going to happen.
Were
you surprised at how, I mean, he was, it's happening.
Well, yeah, because the other day he was so down on it. He said, I talked to all these people, and now it's going to happen. I'm glad it's going to happen because we're going to need that in 3 weeks from now. But as you guys said, we sometimes mess up. Now, I've never messed up.
Nope.
Meanwhile, at 6:30 tonight, we'll relive when Tom Brady got bit by a dog at the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Right.
We're going to wrap up Tom Brady week.
Well, it's been way too serious.
Say, Nora? Nora Princiati? Is that how you say her name?
Who screwed that up? I can't remember.
Wasn't me. Was not me, Glenn. That was definitely not my fault. Nora Pranassi. I think I'm saying that right from the Boston Globe. How to say that again, Patio? Princiati. Thank you very much. You should know that. We'll go behind the segment on that at 6:30. Because the Brady week's been a big kiss-ass. Brady's great. When did you know how he was the best quarterback ever? What's he like in the huddle? And we're going to laugh a little bit tonight to wrap up a week. We need that at this time, guys.
I heard he punched that dog out, and that's why the dog bit him. Exactly. That's what I heard.
I didn't hear that.
All right, Mud at Night from the basement.
Thanks, boys.
From his house coming up next. Boys, have a great weekend. Bill Withers, 81 years of age, passed away today. Rest in peace, Bill. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back 2 o'clock on Monday.
Later.
Later.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.